First, how's everyone this morning? We're good? Good? Fantastic. I'm excited about our passage this morning. It is, again, in a sense, Paul's taking us on a little bit of a change, though it will remain very theological in this passage. It gets more practical at the same time. And how do we live out our faith in Jesus Christ? I'm excited where Paul is taking us. There'll be some detours along the way as we continue to go through. We'll take a little break in April, actually, with Easter coming up. Dave is going to be here April 7th sharing with us. And then we got Palm Sunday, and Easter. And then we'll do something different on the last Sunday of April as well. And then May, we'll get back into Romans. So we'll have a little break there. But we want to continue on in this morning and continue to see what God is teaching us about the gospel, about the power of God for salvation for all those who will believe. If you can remember all the way back to when we started in chapter 1, that's what Paul said. It's the power of God for salvation for all those who will believe, for all those who will put faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's what Paul has been laying out for us over these last few months. And I hope there's been different parts in there that's kind of stood out to you as far as where you are in your faith and what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because the truth is amazing when we understand just how deeply God has moved in Jesus Christ for us. So let's just pray, and then we'll get into Romans chapter 8 this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that you are truth and that you sent your word, your truth to us in Jesus Christ, that we, through him, have been provided the way to salvation, to life in you, that you have done all these things so that we might not only be saved and know that we can one day enter eternity with you, but also that you begin to move in our hearts, that you free us from sin, you give us new life, you change us, you move in us, and you lead us. And I just pray this morning as we get into chapter 8 here, Father, that as we think of your Spirit and the work of your Holy Spirit in us, that we would be encouraged and challenged in what it means to follow you, what it means to walk in faith, to trust you. And Father, I just pray that you'll lead us this morning in this as we get into your word. May your Spirit work on our ears, on our minds, on our hearts, so that we would not only hear, but we would be changed, and we would be able to choose to walk by faith in obedience to you and what you call us to do. And I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I find change hard. I think it's one of the most difficult things to produce in ourselves. If you've ever tried to change what you eat, which is probably the hardest thing for me, because I like my sweets, I like my carbs, I like my pasta, I like a lot of things that are not healthy for me. So for me to change how I eat, which as I'm getting older I see I need to begin to do, is difficult. And if you've ever tried to change what you eat or get into an exercise plan or stop a bad habit, you know that change is difficult. Maybe you're like the gentleman who went to his doctor and the doctor told him he needed to give up red meat. It's not good. You need to cut back on that. And so he stopped putting ketchup on his hamburgers. Or maybe when it comes to technology, you feel a little bit like this lady. That it's hard to keep up with what's changing, the new computers, the new tablets, and to change with that time, it's hard to understand and follow that. And I think to some degree, Robin Sharma has it right when he says, change is hard at first, messy in the middle, but glorious in the end. Change is difficult. It's hard to be different, to change the things, especially that we have done for so many years in our lives, the way that we have lived, the way that we have thought, the way that we interact, the things that are part of our lives are difficult to change. And that's why I think Paul in Romans chapter 7 that we looked at last week said, I do what I don't want to do. I do what I know is wrong, but I don't do what is right. What I know is right. He says, there's this continual battle in me because I know exactly what is right and wrong, and yet I continue to do the things that I know I shouldn't be doing. And if you are a human being, first of all, you know that's true in our lives. For all of us as human beings, change is difficult. We often do the things that we know we shouldn't, like eat lots of sugar because it tastes so good. Or maybe it's something deeper and more harmful than that. But we continually seem to fall back into those things that we know we shouldn't and struggle to do the things that we should. And maybe we seem to find some victories here and there, and yet all of a sudden we fall back into that same thing again. Well, that's what Paul laid out for us in Romans chapter 7. That difficult for us is change. Law is not going to do it. Setting rules for ourselves is not going to do it. Trying to do the right thing by our own willpower is not going to do it. Paul laid out that we are powerless to do the right thing on our own, and that law and rules are powerless to change us so that we can do the right things. And as I said last week, if we continue in a pattern where we walk in that frustration, not only the frustration, but often the shame and guilt that will come when we try to change ourselves by rules, by willpower, and when we fall, we feel shame, we feel guilt, and we end up sort of like what Paul said in chapter 7, wretched man that I am, or wretched person that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And we end up beating ourselves up, and we end up stuck in this pattern in which we cannot change, and we're feeling bad about ourselves, and we're feeling like we'll never get anywhere in our lives. But Paul doesn't stop there. In fact, in verse 25 of chapter 7, he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." In other words, though we tend to go through these patterns and walk in that way and find that maybe we have victory for a moment but fall in other times, and we struggle to do the right things and we fall back into doing the wrong things, that Paul says, thanks be to God that he's done something for us in Jesus Christ. That he's done something for us that we can move forward, that we can change, that we can grow. And part of it is what Paul has laid out for us already, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and he rose again. He took our sin on him. He took the penalty. And when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, Paul's already told us we've died to sin. We're no longer under the condemnation of the law. We've been given new life in Jesus Christ, and so on and so forth. Paul has just been laying out for us, section by section, all the work that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, that he has changed us, that he has regenerated us, that he's given us a new heart. But sometimes, and maybe quite often, it still seems difficult to change and to grow and to move forward. Professor T.W. Manson said it this way: Moses' law has right, but not might. Sin's law has might, but not right. The law of the Spirit has both right and might. And so as we get into this passage this morning in Romans chapter 8, he begins with, "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." When we slip up and fail, when we seem to want to do what's right and yet do what we know we shouldn't do, Paul says, don't beat ourselves up. Don't get stuck there. Don't see ourselves in the sense of guilt and shame and condemnation and see ourselves pulled down. Now, this is different than conviction. The Holy Spirit will convict us of our sins. But the difference between condemnation and conviction is condemnation pulls us down and beats ourselves up. Conviction pulls us back to God. And the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sins, but we aren't under condemnation. We aren't under the wrath of God. We aren't enslaved to sin. We aren't condemned by the law that tells us what's right and wrong. And so Paul lays out that we don't have to live in this sense of, what a wretched person I am. I just can't get it right. I don't know if you've ever said that to yourself. I've said that many times along the way. I just can't get it right. I'm just not the Christian I should be. I'm just not following God the way I should. I'm not in His Word the way I should. And these are all things that we need to be growing in, but we can't beat ourselves up when we don't get it right. Because we're not condemned. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But not only are we not condemned, but we are set free. We are set free to the new life, to follow God, to have a relationship with Him, and freed to be changed. And that's what Paul wants to lay out for us in the rest of Romans chapter 8. He wants us to know that there is a way in which we can begin to progress and change and grow. And probably the better word for us is be transformed. Because change often can point us to changing something on the outside, something that we do, some action that's not right. But what Paul is laying out for us is that God wants to transform us from the inside out. He wants to change us from the inner parts in which we struggle, from those ways in which sin still tempts us and trips us up. He wants to begin to change us from the inside out. And so in verse 2 of Romans chapter 8, he says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." We have been set free. Now the word law here is not law as we have been looking at it, as in the Mosaic law or the rules of the Old Testament. What it really is, though they would fit in this, is a regulative principle which exercises control over a person. In other words, it's that which controls what you do, how you act, how you live. Probably the one way that we could understand it is when we think of the law of gravity, a law that we are all familiar with because it all affects all of us. If I try to jump, I'm not going too high, mostly because I don't have much of a vertical, but also mostly because there's gravity pulling me down, right? It's a law that's comprehensive in our world. And Paul has laid out for us as human beings that the law that is comprehensive as well as gravity is the law of sin and death. He's laid out that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that we are all slaves to sin apart from Jesus Christ, that is a law that affects all of us as human beings, just like the law of gravity does. And Paul says that was what affected you before. That was what your reality was before. That's what continues to affect many in our world because they are controlled by the law of sin and death. In fact, in verse 7, he says it this way, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God." That's the law of sin and death. That's our inability as human beings to walk in the way that God created us to be. But Paul says, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, and you can see throughout this passage, he continually adds, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Because it begins by our faith in Jesus Christ because of what he's done on the cross. And he'll lay that out for us again in the next few verses. But he says, because those who are in Christ Jesus have no condemnation, because the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. That when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the law, the regulative principle in our life, the thing that directs and changes our actions is no longer sin and death and flesh. It's the law of the Spirit of God within us. If you're not familiar with the theology on Holy Spirit, when Jesus Christ was still on earth, he said to his disciples, and this is my paraphrase, I need to go back to the Father, to the Heavenly Father, in order that I can send the Helper to you. In order that I could send the Spirit of God to you. And the reality is that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, not only has Christ paid the price, set us free from sin and death, but he's put himself in us, in his Holy Spirit. And that Spirit in us comes into us and regenerates our hearts and frees us from condemnation, from the law of sin and death, to the law of the Spirit of life. Gives us new life. It's kind of like, yes, we're controlled by the law of gravity. We as human beings have found a way around that when we came up with the law of aerodynamics. We found a way to be able to put planes into the air, to get off the ground and stay there, to give us freedom to travel around the world, to see new things, to experience life here on earth. Well, what God has done for us in Jesus Christ by putting his Spirit in us is that he's given us the ability to begin to choose the things that produce in us life here and now. To let us experience what eternal life is, what life with God is, and following him in the here and now, not just in eternity. And that's why he goes on in verse 3 to say, for God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Now here again, here's the gospel. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Isn't that interesting wording? Because we just heard in Romans chapter 7 that we can't fulfill the law, that the law can't change us, that we have no ability. We've seen that actually throughout Romans, that we cannot do the right things on our own. We cannot save ourselves, first of all, but even when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can't will ourselves to do the right thing, to fulfill the law of God. But when God put his Spirit in us and regenerated our hearts, what he did was fulfill the whole entire requirements of the law. Those laws in the Old Testament, he's fulfilled in us. That's what he was talking about, first of all, in justification. We've been made right in the eyes of God. We no longer stand condemned because our righteousness is, Christ's righteousness is on us, and God sees us in that righteousness. But also what it points to, because it says, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, is that God not only legally sets us right before him, but he also begins to produce that in us. Sanctification. Paul's thrown out that word a little earlier on. I think it was in chapter 6. That God then, as he puts his Spirit in us and frees us from the law of sin and death, begins to produce life in us. Begins to change our heart, transform us by his Holy Spirit. And begins to empower us and change us so that not only are we legally right before God, but that we can begin to live a holy life before him by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the work of God in our hearts. And that's why he says, for those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The word walk is one that comes throughout, especially Paul's writing in the New Testament. And the way I often think about it is, and I actually shared this in the Light program last year, but when you think of the word walk, just think of the things that you can pick up, or at least think you can perceive about a person by the way they walk. If they walk fast, maybe they're busy. If they walk slow, maybe they're sad. If they walk with attitude, maybe they have attitude. Those are things that maybe we at least think we can perceive about someone. Actually, as I was preparing this, I remember a time, I think it was in high school, where I decided I would change my walk. I was playing sports, and some of the guys on there had, we could call it a jock walk. It was, you know, kind of, I don't even know what it was exactly, but, you know, kind of, you know, you're cool and you got the attitude, right? You play sports, so yeah, you're up there. I can remember thinking, man, those guys seem cool, so what if I walked like that? And I tried changing my walk for a while. But someone was smart enough or wise enough to say to me, why do you walk like that? Because that's not who you are. Thank goodness for good friends, or maybe it was even my parents, I'm not sure. But walk points to how we live. If we walk a certain way, perhaps we're setting out what we think about ourselves or what our life is like. And when Paul uses the word walk, he's talking about how we live. That those who walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And so the question simply comes in our walk of faith, how are we walking? Paul's laid out that we need to present ourselves to God. We have a choice in this, that when we're tempted by sin, which we will be, in our life of faith, in our walk, in the direction of where we go, are we walking according to what the Spirit is saying to us within us and what the Spirit is trying to do within us? Or are we continuing to choose to walk according to the way that we once walked? And one living by the Spirit leads us to life and peace, Paul tells us, and the other lives to death, leads us to death. It destroys our lives. It destroys our relationships. And so we have a choice about who are we going to walk according to. Paul said in Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How are we walking? Who are we walking according to? The Spirit is the one who gives us life. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us to what is good and right and pure and holy. And God said, Paul has said, and God through him, that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God has put his Spirit in us. We all, if our faith is in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is there. But we need to learn to walk according to the Spirit. So that we hear the Spirit. So it's the Spirit that's directing how we think and how we live. In fact, he goes on in verse 6 to say, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. And the key, I believe, is where is our minds? And Paul's going to lay this out again in chapter 12. That there's a big part that our minds, our thoughts, what we're putting into us, what we're doing with our attitudes, plays a big part in how we live and how we follow God. And I think Paul lays out here that it's how our minds are set, or what is our mind set on? Is it on the things of God? Is it on Scripture? Or is it on ourself, on our flesh, on our own desires, our own wills, our own way? And Paul reminds us here in verse 9, he says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's in you already. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, that Spirit is in you. Are we walking according to that Spirit? And then what's amazing to me as I go through the book of Romans is that it seems like God has done all this stuff for us. He's given us all these things, and he's put his Spirit in us. And you think, oh, that's amazing. That's enough. That's what more could God do? But let's look at verse 10. He says, but if in Christ, But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. So here he's laid out the reality of us right now, that our spirit is alive because of the Holy Spirit in us. We're alive from the inside. He's producing life in us, but our body is dead. And then there's verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Isn't that amazing? That not only has God saved us in Jesus Christ, gave up his son to die on the cross, give up his life when we were yet sinners, when we were enemies of God. And by simply accepting that free gift and putting our faith in Jesus Christ, he's freed us from sin. He's given us new life. He's done all these things for us. And not only that, he's given us his spirit to live within us, to empower us, to change us, to transform us, to lead us. But also one day, he will complete that work in us by the Spirit, so that not only will we be spiritually alive, but our mortal bodies will have new life. Paul said it a little different way in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. In other words, Christ, Holy Spirit, God will one day fulfill his work in us to make us whole again. To not only make us right and transform us from the inside, but he'll make us right on the outside. And Paul's going to, in chapter 8 here, go on to talk about groaning. Because we all understand groaning in this life. We all understand the pain of this life. And particularly, maybe in our physical bodies. I can remember as a kid, my dad was able to run around and play with us, and he would chase us around the yard, and he'd be swimming. And now my dad, at the age of 72, struggles to get going when he runs, struggles to get up because of his knees. Our mortal bodies, affected by sin, diminish and hurt and get sick and can be broken. And Paul lays out here that the work of the Spirit in us is not just to transform us and change us, like that's not enough, but to one day change our mortal body into an imperishable spiritual body that will be whole again. And Paul wants us to understand that change is possible. A change in our hearts and in our lives is possible by the Holy Spirit, as we walk with the Spirit, as we're changed by the Spirit. But here's what I believe is the greatest enemy of walking in the Spirit, of being transformed by the Spirit. One of the greatest enemies in our day and age. It's busyness. Busyness. Because if you remember John chapter 15, Jesus laid out, if you abide in me, I will abide in you, and you will bear much fruit. And to be able to abide in Christ, to rest in him, to walk in him, to be connected with him, we've got to have time to do it. We can't just be busy and running all the time and hope that God will change us along the way. We have to play our part. That's why Paul earlier, as I said, present yourself. There's a role that we play. in order to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us and leading us, so that we can learn to be obedient and changed by it and convicted of our wrong attitudes or sins in our lives, we have to slow down. Truly believe it. And honestly, I've experienced that since being here. I began running so fast with things of our church and got so busy that I forgot to walk with God. And I began to struggle. I began to struggle with what I was preaching. I began to struggle what I was doing, why I was doing it, how I was going to do it, and all my ideas of what maybe I should be doing. And God along the way came and said, slow down. Slow down. You're not hearing me. You're not walking with me. You're not walking by my Spirit. And it's the same. It's not just for us as pastors or people in ministry. It's for all of us. If we want to be transformed and changed by the Spirit, if we want to experience the new life that God has said is ours for the taking, then we have to slow down. We have to have time to walk with Him. We have to have time to know what His Word says so that the Spirit can speak to us about it. We have to slow down. That doesn't mean you have to cut everything out of our lives, give everything up. But maybe we need to give up a few things. Maybe we need to cut a few things out. And maybe we have to stop running from the truth of our own hearts, our own struggles, and slow down enough to truly come before God and allow His Spirit to change us, to transform us, and to make us into who He has created us to be in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this morning. I thank You for what You have done in Jesus Christ for us. Father, we didn't deserve that in any ways. We can't even wrap our minds around what You have done or how sinful we are apart from You or how broken we are and how amazing the work of what Christ did on the cross is for us and that You've given us Your Spirit. Father, continue to open our hearts and eyes and ears to understand how deep is Your love for us and the work that You have done for us in Jesus Christ. May that stir our hearts daily. May that be our reminder always that we need to slow down to hear You, to walk with You, because You are our goal. Not busyness, not success, not money, not anything else, but You. Help us to slow down. Help us to take time to hear You and Your Word and Your Spirit. Help us to not walk in ourselves, but allow You to transform us and change us. Move in our midst, Lord. Move in us so that we might be people who are led by Your Spirit and changed to be like Christ. Father, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless and have a great week.